continuing the climate conversation. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We've made great progress, in my view, so far.
President Biden talking to world leaders again, saying his virtual climate summit is a stepping stone.
For the UN Climate Change Conference in November, where we're going to make these commitments real, putting all of our nations on a path to a secure, prosperous, and sustainable future.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, President Biden opened the second and final day of the summit with a focus on creating green new jobs.
For automotive workers, building electric cars, trucks, and buses, skilled workers installing in charging stations to accommodate them throughout our countries.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the administration's climate agenda will shred good-paying American jobs. The president said he's looking forward to working with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who has made no specific promises, but says his nation is interested in galvanizing international cooperation on climate change. Dave?
Rachel, the CDC is about to start a meeting to reevaluate Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine that's been shelved while they investigate the cases of six women who got blood clots after getting the shots. One died. There's new research into COVID survivors. A study in the journal Nature looked at 73,000 people who got the coronavirus but did not have to be hospitalized.
It found that between 1 and 6 months after being infected, those patients had a 60% higher risk of death than those who had not been infected.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers.
The COVID survivors had long-term problems they'd never had before, not just lung issues, but almost any of the body's organ systems, like neurological or cardiovascular. They also found an increased risk of mental health problems, including anxiety and sleep disorders.
Earlier this morning,
Endeavour launches once again.
SpaceX, using a recycled rocket and capsule, sent four astronauts to the International Space Station. They'll arrive early tomorrow. And Caitlyn Jenner has announced she's running for governor in California as a Republican. America's listening to Fox News.
Hello, I'm a unicorn. Yes, one of those. Everyone's tried to find me, but most can't, unless there's ZipRecruiter. If you've hired before, you understand it's quite hard to find a unicorn. You know, someone who's perfect for your role. So how does ZipRecruiter do it so quickly? ZipRecruiter's technology matches your job up with the right people for your role and invites them to apply, so you get brilliant candidates fast.
Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Here's Terry Bradshaw for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Hey, if you want to win $7,000 a week, you better step on it.
There are just days left to enter to win $7,000 a week for life from Publishers Clearinghouse on April 30th.
Yep, you got to enter PCH.com before it's too late. Real people really do win, just like you. You don't want to miss out, do you? But you got to be in it to win it. $7,000 a week for life. Enter now at PCH.com.
Entries due 427. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Sunshine and warm temperatures. That's what we've got through the weekend. And then looking forward to some rain by Monday. 88 the high today, breezy tomorrow, 92. By speeding up the hiring process, Indeed puts the dash in dashboard. Use Instant Match to connect immediately with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Then use your dashboard to conduct interviews. Find out more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. We're back here talking about money issues and got a special guest on today that I've been trying to get on, and I'm glad he's in here. Philip Rodriguez, the city administrator of Yuma. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
Good, good. So, you know, when we talk about money and financials and all that sort, being a municipality, I'm sure all those words and things pop up in your brain because no money can't support the city, right?
Boy, that's correct. You know, we're obviously we do a lot more than just manage the public's resources, but it does require good fiscal management to be able to make services happen for the 100,000-plus people we serve every day.
Now, I know you've been at that job for, what, over a year now?
Yeah, it's almost a year and a half. So,
okay.
Yeah, and it's been a wild ride.
So for some of the listeners, if you don't mind, maybe just give them a little background on yourself. That way they kind of know who you are, and then we'll kind of dig into some city questions.
So a year and a half, you brought COVID then? Yeah, I settled in a few months and then let it happen.
Right. Okay.
Now, yeah, no, I arrived in town in November of 2019. So I had just a few months under my belt, got to know a little bit about the community, had a chance to come and, you know, visit all of our different facilities, our staff. And then all of a sudden, myself, the mayor, and several of our council members all were up in Phoenix and just about to meet with the governor. And all of a sudden, one of the governor's staff came in the room and said, hey, he's got an important announcement today. He's not going to actually be able to meet with y'all in person. And then just a few minutes later, essentially, the state began to shut down for COVID. So, yeah, it was kind of an interesting event. And so really, we've been you know, largely managing that crisis ever since. But in many ways, the city of Yuma has fared incredibly well. And so we as a community really rallied around each other, and things are going quite well, actually.
So, I mean, I guess the big question, not only on the financial side, is when is this economy going to really open up? I know the governor has been making some announcements.
Right.
You know, no mask in schools and some other things, but
sure.
What are you hearing on your side?
You know, we here at the city of Yuma, at least, and in the Yuma, right, probably the greater Yuma region, never really saw the kind of slowdowns that a lot of the rest of the country saw. And a lot of that had to do with some of the decisions that were made at a state level, but even here at a local level. Our Mayor Nichols, had a number of emergency proclamations, but every single one of those was always framed around the idea of how do we keep the economy moving at least somewhat, and how do we help ensure that business can get back to normal as soon as we can. And in many cases, you know, we're not naive. We know that there's a lot of individuals that have been hurting out in the community, but the city was able to put some programs together that really helped. We had small business grants. In fact, the city council put together about $550,000, and we were able to exhaust all of that money in just a couple of months' time, supporting small businesses, especially those that had been shut down for a season. So that's things like bars and restaurants, you know, barbershops and salons. A lot of the folks that had, you know, high personal touch with people, they had to close down for a little while. And so we wanted to make sure we could bolster them. But we've had rent assistance. We've had assistance with utility bills. In fact, that's still ongoing. And then the county was able to actually secure several $1 million for that kind of support as well. And so there's still all those opportunities out there. But what we're really seeing is Main Street is recovering. And I don't mean that as just our Main Street, right? But really, you know, the mom-and-pop businesses, many of the folks that were closed down a year ago, they're doing pretty well now.
Yeah, I mean, these financial research guys keep a pulse on when they think we're going to hit herd immunity. And a lot of them are saying the same thing, but they think end of May, June, you know. And once you hit herd immunity, I mean, granted, in your head to probably wear a mask and all that, but ultimately it should mean we should have a pretty open economy.
You would think.
So,
well, I think the data supports that. You know, we've actually, so I shared with the city council our third quarter financial report this week at a city council meeting. And what we're really seeing is that we're actually, almost every revenue is overperforming, which means that whatever we budgeted or forecasted, it's actually coming in at a greater rate.
Phil, how'd you do that going into the unknown like
you
that,
know,
Because, you know, no one knew what the shutdown was going to create.
Sure, sure. You know, there were several things, Russ. That's a great point. I don't know how this happened. I want to pretend like, you know, we had some crystal ball, but obviously we didn't. We started developing the budget about December, right after I got here, of 2019. Had a really good plan together by March, and then everything we had to shift. And what we ended up doing is shaving about $11.2 million off of the city's budget and off of our typical year spending, and really just tightened our belts. And then, very fortuitously, we got $11.3 million from the CARES Act. So we were within $100,000 of what we thought the shortfall would be, and then what the CARES Act came in and supported us on to keep us afloat. But we didn't have to exhaust all those funds. So we're still in a situation where this next year, as we're developing the budget, we're looking at things like actually reducing our property tax rate slightly. I don't want to excite everybody too much, but you know,
reducing a penny, I mean, that's greater. That's better than raising it.
It is a challenge.
So when you say the revenues are coming in better than expected, does that kind of mean that the revenues were kind of dropped with you guys adjusting them down to COVID levels, knowing the economy was in shutdown? Are they back to where they were, I guess?
Yeah, you know, in most cases, they're actually performing just a little bit better than they were the year before COVID.
Oh, okay. So
now we've seen a lot of growth in there, too, though, right? We've seen in fact, last year was our fastest growing residential development year we've ever had. Second largest commercial spaces that we've ever had. So there's a lot of construction activity, and so that's helped a lot. We've had a lot of people move into Yuma.
A lot of Californians running for the hills.
Likely so.
Yeah.
Likely so.
Yeah. So.
Well, and it speaks to our economy's been a whole lot more open. Too,
yeah.
Right?
So. I've came across families in town where they still work in California, and I'm talking like San Diego is, but they live in Yuma.
What?
And somehow they either, I don't know if they commute or they stay up there for like 3-4 days and then come back here.
Yeah.
But they kind of relocated the family but still work over there. Or maybe some of it's online or that, you know.
Maybe.
But I think that's, and then I talked to some other people that are, a lot of these companies are just letting, especially the bigger tech companies like Google and that, are letting people just literally work wherever they want to work. So a lot of them are moving to their, back to their home state. Or I had a lady from California move up to Montana. I always wanted to live in Montana, but still doing her job, just doing it through the, not through the office. So that's probably a theme happening too.
Absolutely. Of course, we have, you know, every year we have so many people that come here and winter with us anyway. But yeah, I think that there's definitely been a shift in the economy, and we've got a number of people who now work with us and for us that, you know, we're able to flex schedule with and do some things like that. So. I really think that what this did is actually pushed our economy where it was already heading, where a lot of our retailers, for example, have introduced the curbside pickup, the online business, and so in many cases that really never dropped off.
Yeah.
It just shifted.
Like you said, it forced that to happen a lot quicker, which added to the efficiency of a business or more revenue or what they're trying to do.
Right, right. Now, the one kind of flip side of that is, you know, we're still watching to see what's going to happen to office spaces all over town, right? So we're not sure how the vacancies are going to keep going from here, but certainly people are doing business differently, and that includes the city as well.
Yeah. So I notice one of the things that I like personally is downtown, a lot of the restaurants can extend out to the patio, not just the little patio they had before, but extend out to the street. And actually, that adds a little bit of something to the downtown. I kind of like it.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to brag on us here in Yuma. We were actually one of the very first in the state to do that, and the Mayor Nichols was able to put together a proclamation that allowed that, and then about 90 days to 120 days later, then that became a statewide situation. But, you know, we were always wanting to find ways to ensure that we could keep commerce happening, and I'm enjoying it too. You get out there, especially with the weather we've had. Get on those patios and just have a good time.
Yep. Hey, we'll take our first break. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, talking with the city administrator, Philip Rodriguez. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So I know he's going to ask you some questions, and one of the questions I'm sure you get asked a lot is just a little bit about your background. I'm sure, people are curious.
Yeah. So, I mentioned I've been here about 18 months here in Yuma, but really, you know, I was born and raised in Colorado, the Denver area, and that was right before it kind of exploded. It's really changed quite a bit since I was a kid. But went to Colorado Christian University, got my undergraduate degree in organizational management. I was really kind of captivated by how do organizations run and how do healthy organizations function. And then just shortly thereafter, I went and got a master's in public administration at the University of Kansas. So I'm a Jayhawks fan. I got hooked on basketball there.
Oh, okay.
So I every March, I'm a little disappointed because obviously most years we don't win the championship, but I am a big KU Jayhawks fan. And then worked most of my career in the state of Texas at a number of cities there. So my first city I ever worked at was the city of San Antonio, which was just a really great exposure for me on how cities, not only manage, again, resources and things like that, but, you know, we had 11,000 staff members there. So it was a really cool experience for me there. Moved up through the ranks.
Don't you wish Yuma had the vision, 100 years ago to divert the river and then divert it back to the river?
You know,
that would have worked, right?
I hear about a desire for a river walk here almost weekly. So I maybe it's still in our cards, you know. Who knows what we can do with that. And frankly, the city council, when they look at the planning of the future for the city, we realize our riverfront and our downtown are pretty key parts of that. So it's probably at least a little more than a dream, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of weird how it seems like Yuma, when it got developed, kind of turned its back on the river, and other cities opened, was facing the river.
Right.
And there was a big difference on that, you know.
Well, and you would think that in the middle of the desert, we'd want to be pretty conscious of our river, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably a lot to do with where has development happened and where has the city grown. We're a huge geographic footprint, but certainly would be good to see some more investment coming downtown and into the river.
Well, I mean, all those parks down there have definitely added a lot of value for people living in Yuma and visitors and that. So,
absolutely.
I think it's slowly working that way. Looks like we got a call here.
You're on the air.
Hi, guys. This is OG here.
Hey, OG.
Yeah, listen, I would imagine Yuma's original development became before the dams were built upstream. Because this used to flood like crazy.
I see. So if you face your building the other way, it somehow helped flood?
Yeah. Well, this is like the wetlands. Uh-huh. Wetlands are called wetlands for a reason. Because when it rains upstream, all that water comes down here. And it's kind of like the old New Orleans before the levee. But we don't, and we have levees here. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah.
Over on Water Street, there's a levee that keeps the water in case it rises. It keeps it out of the Yuma Central.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So I would imagine Yuma's development ignored the water because it was dangerous at the time when they began the city.
Yeah, and it's interesting how much those water wars have really kind of struck up too, right? Because everybody's needing water upstream, and we're kind of at the end of all those rivers. So, I would imagine that at one point probably foreseen we'd have more water.
Well, like Lake Havasu and Lachlan, Nevada, they all took advantage because they're younger and newer. See.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Like Havasu came on board in 1964 with McLaughlin. I mean, what's his name? The guy had the chainsaw industry.
Yeah.
I forget his name. He brought the London Bridge over the Rock by Rock, if you recall, in 1964. Then Laughlin, they didn't get going until the guy opened a bar there about 50 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, OG, I see you call in a lot. How long have you been in Yuma?
I moved down here from Las Vegas in 2007.
Oh,
but
okay.
In and out.
So you're a newbie.
I liked it, and then I quit traveling around 2010, and I just came here.
Yeah. But good. When I listen to you talk on the show, I like your thoughts. We'll let you go, though. Thanks for the call. So, I'm sure I'm not a history buff or anything, but I'm sure there's a lot of reason why Yuma didn't open up to the river, but...
Yeah,
I know with the problems with the drought and everything, it seems like flooding doesn't seem to be on the horizon anytime too soon, I don't think.
Yeah, of course, you head north and even head to Vegas. You just mentioned Vegas a second ago and the Hoover Dam and everything. And, over the last 100 years, we've found different ways to manage the river. But, you know, the big focus now is ensuring that we can protect our water rights in this area. And that's, you know, we talk about one of the challenges that we're going to face in the future. That's definitely one of them.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the fiscal of the city. And I know you're talking about maybe putting the budget and stuff together. So I guess overall, can you elaborate on where you think the city's at and strengths, weaknesses, what we got to work on, and maybe areas we're doing great in?
Sure. Well, I'll start with what I know is going well, and that's our sales tax in the city. So we've, like I said a moment ago, we're really right on target from about where we were the year prior to COVID. Now, we had a couple down months, right? March and April of last year were fairly rocky. But we just saw that kind of roar back, and so, you know, we're really on track on that. In fact, we're overperforming, like I said, in a number of our revenues, which just really means that we're bringing in more revenue than what we'd even were able to predict. But one of our weak points, I guess, as you look forward, and this is really for our regional economy, is labor, and that's probably confused a lot of the longer time residents here, but. We're starting to see businesses struggling to find employees, and so some of those Main Street businesses we were just talking about a moment ago, they're having a hard time getting labor.
Yeah, yeah. So when there is extra money from that sales tax, does it go into some future fund or gets dispersed through some? What happens to it?
Yeah, so it does get retained each year and used in future years. But so one of the things that we're looking for, you mentioned the budget going forward. We're excited that we've got some pretty good-sized projects coming in. We're going to be building a new fire station out on the east side of town. We've got, trying to think of a couple other things. We've got
What part of town? Out by the...
Yeah, about 8.5E and
okay.
40th or so.
Okay.
So if you think about where a lot of the new subdivisions have come in...
By the Hall Elementary School out there, kind of?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, not too far from that. So you think about that that Walmart out there is sort of this... you know, kind of marker, but that whole area has grown tremendously. And so we're going to be building a new fire station out there. Also around 60 and 32nd, we're going to be building a really nice new park. It hasn't been named yet, but
okay.
We've got the community's going to get involved in that. And that's going to sit right next to that new veterans home. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah,
there,
okay.
Which is another really great project. But so there's a number of things we're going to try to do. One thing we were able to do this year's budget that I'm really proud of is we increased our streets budget by 150%. So,
and that was a big gripe from everybody.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I heard a lot about that when I was interviewing. Certainly watched council meetings prior to me here coming here, and it's a pressure point. And we got a long ways to go. I don't want to be naive about it.
Now, is that because of the state we released some money to do that, or was this all internally through Yuma?
Well, we largely shifted a lot of the resources. Now, we do get some voter-approved revenues that go all the way back to the 70s where the state shares those with us. But.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, largely what we did is we really just said, okay, let's understand the city council's priorities and let's put money behind those things.
Good. And then I know, you know, it's not too old now, but the big water facility out there probably, someone told me, has a lot of room for growth. I mean, it's not that capacity or anything, right?
That's correct. You know, we actually, we could use new industrial and commercial customers for our water side and still be okay. We've got good capacity, good supply. Wastewater capacity, we're going to have to increase. You know, that's one of the plants on the east side, the Desert Dunes plant, that we're going to have to expand in the next year or two.
Okay. That's
so,
usually some pretty big money, right?
It is. You're probably, you know, we're probably looking about $80 million on that.
Okay.
So that one will likely end up needing to bond put out there. But that's the other thing. Is our rates are great right now.
Sure.
We just refinanced all of our public safety pension debt and ended up saving the taxpayers about $74 million on that.
So that's almost a swap, then.
Yeah, right. So you know what we're really trying to do is just kind of take advantage of some of those things with the interest rates, with the economy, and keep us running. So next year's budget's going to be themed strengthening the core. We're going to get more focused on our core services and just figure out how to do what we're doing today, but do it even better.
Great. So we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk 560 AM.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
And he looks at her and says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a cloud. Oh, but..."
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here with Yuma Investment Group. We got our guest today, City Administrator Philip Rodriguez. We're talking about city issues, future of the city. Good morning again.
Good morning, Tom.
So, sounds like in general we're on the slope back up as far as revenue and trying to make things better, services and such.
Right. Yeah. You know, and what that's been able to do for us as we plan the next year's budget is, I mentioned a few of the big projects right before the break, but we're really trying to see how do we reinvest any of that money back into the community. We don't want to just sit on that, obviously. It's the people's resources. So we just want to steward that, right? We want to make sure that we're making good decisions, and we want to see some good things happen over the next couple of years here.
Good. Now, you were talking on break about your program called the Infill.
Yeah, so we have what's called the Infill Incentive Plan. And so if people aren't familiar with infill development, basically it's if you have development areas in the city that have either hit their useful life cycle or they've become abandoned or blighted, what we're really trying to do is see how do we get new investment into those areas.
Sure.
And so the city did several years ago, and great compliments to the city council and even council member Knight, who helped really influence that process. He, the intent there was to say, look, what do we do with some of these abandoned areas, right? What do we do with some of these houses and storefronts that just aren't useful now? And so...
And eyesores.
Absolutely.
And probably, yeah. Animals and
you
other
bet.
Things.
Everything you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
And so all of those areas now have a number of incentives, inclusive of things like reduced fees for development, expedited processes, a whole host of things. So parking reductions where you don't have to have as much parking in some of those spots, some of those kind of things. And we want to incentivize so that if somebody's looking at building brand new out into the desert, or they have the chance to come back and invest right back into the core of the city, that that's actually enticing to them.
Is there an actual zone from street to street that this is fits in?
There is. It's currently just west of the downtown. So if you kind of think about where the Heritage Library is and just kind of build out from there along 4th Avenue.
Okay.
We are looking, though, right now, and the City Council is going to be considering soon expanding that all the way down the 4th Avenue corridor, all the way back into the downtown, and even capture areas like the Southgate Mall, the building where the Toys R Us was, you know, all those kind of areas, to see what we could do to try to, again hopefully enhance and excite an investor to say, yeah, that makes sense for me to put my money there.
Great idea. Now, when you say the fees are lower, I know it's probably not black and white, but are you talking like 20, 30, 40% lower?
Even more than that, yeah.
And
it is project specific. But we've got all that information on our website, which is yumaaz.gov. And then if folks will watch us over the next couple months, we're going to keep having conversations about that to see, again, how do we expand that? How do we make that even more aggressive on our part to get more excitement about that area?
Sure.
And again, hopefully we get more investment in it.
Now, one of the things that I think Trump helped implement was the people can put money into areas that are less, like kind of like you're talking about, ran down, or maybe the poverty level is less, and then it grows with no tax, and after 10 years they pull it out with no tax.
Sure.
I forgot the exact term.
So
of
there's one of the programs is Opportunity Zones. Is
okay,
that maybe
yeah,
what you're
yeah,
talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
And we actually have several. One of them, interestingly enough, maybe our very first project is going to be kind of over there by the PAC. We've got actually a hotel and then some apartments that are looking to come over there. And they'll be able to take advantage of some of those.
Yeah. Now, is that also like a map in Yuma of what properties or can do that? Or is
yeah,
that
and it's very specific areas. I want to give a shout-out real quick to our Economic Development Administrator, Jeff Burt. Anybody can contact us here at the city, and we'll connect you to Jeff to have that conversation about what properties exist. And yeah, there's opportunity zones. That's a great one.
So just to, what I understand, and I think I got it right, is if someone sells something, instead of paying capital gains, they can roll it into one of these zones, and then they have to keep it in there. I think after 10 years, if they sell it again, then there's no tax on any of that. So you miss taxes twice.
Yes.
So it's a really big incentive. I mean, I know probably has to be a little bit higher dollar amount to make it sense, but I know a lot of the hedge funds and some of the Wall Street people, they thought they would take advantage of it, not just Yuma, you know, Joe Blow, but maybe that's the case. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and that's just it, right? We've got local investors, and then we've got national investors. We're interested in talking to everybody about that opportunity. And there are places all around the city where we could see projects happen soon. And we want to be, you know, honest about it. Obviously, every administration is going to approach these things a little bit differently, but without getting political here, our goal is to see how do we help people maximize those investments now, and I think right now is the right time.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. I'm sure people like that. I know one of the questions, I was talking to a shopkeeper downtown yesterday, and I told her that you were coming on, and she goes, hey, you mind asking this question, so I got to ask.
All right.
But anyways, I know, you know, the homeless around Yuma is there, which is okay, because I know some people are fortunate enough to have a house.
Sure.
But what I see them doing is, like, camping out and just causing a ton of trash and just making it look really ugly. Now, I know that's probably, everyone wants, you know, that to be fixed, but is there any effort there or any plan? I mean, I assume the police don't want to keep going out there and you know, maybe hold them, but cost money. So is there a solution, I guess?
You know, and that that's a whole, we could probably have a whole hour just on that conversation, but we have tried to target certain areas and say, hey, the best thing we can really do is try to make it a private property issue. And in some cases, obviously, that's us as a city, a public property. But ensure that, you know, we have what hours people can be on the property, what they have to do to maintain the property. For example, Heritage Library, I mentioned that a second ago. When I first got here, that was a real attractive spot for people to camp out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked with the library to put up no trespassing signs. We have hours now of when people can be out there. They have to maintain it a certain way. And that's improved greatly. course, one of the realities is then that displaces people from there to another spot, right?
Sure.
And so we're kind of always chasing that at some level, but that's a long-term issue that we as a community, we've got to have good conversations about. And I know that's one of the things the mayor, I think, is wanting to focus on even towards the latter part of this year, is what are we going to do with some of those issues and challenges going forward?
Yeah.
Because we're seeing it all over the country.
Right? I know in the old days, I heard they used to just get a one-pass Greyhound bus ticket.
That's the old days, probably.
Yeah. So that's probably not doable.
And there's some federal court cases that have come down against cities about that we really can't just displace people without a plan.
Yeah.
You got to have a place for them to go if you're going to kick them out of an area. So again, that's got to be a community-wide solution. And frankly, I think that's we talk about some of the negatives of the last year. The reality is there's probably more people now out of work. It has increased people that don't have homes. Or that are struggling, that are what we call housing insecure, right? They're just a paycheck away or less from not being able to have a house or an apartment. So, yeah, that's an issue we're going to have to wrestle with going forward, no doubt about it.
Good. How about, one of the things that really hurts a city or society is drugs.
Yes.
So, I'm not in that area, but is that something that has been stable, going down, going up, or can you comment on that?
Yeah, drug use has actually gone up. And that's, again, some of the negatives we've seen in the last year. Some of it has to do with as much isolation as everybody's had.
That's
right?
The nation, though.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and so we're seeing some of that uptick. But in the same way, again, we're trying to figure out how to combat that. We actually got a pretty coveted grant just a few months ago that's a national drug coalition grant. Mayor Nichols spearheaded that. We've got a lot of good community partners involved in that. In fact, they've just kind of kicked off. So I think you're going to see a lot more communication about that, but really action as well, right? It's one thing to talk about it. It's another to do it. But we're certainly trying to figure out how to put those dollars to good use. And that was a five-year grant. So we're looking at, a long-term comprehensive program on combating drugs. And it's going to be different than, when I grew up, it was all about, say no to drugs, DARE, and all those things, which are still part of, they've changed some of those names and monikers, but the reality is, look, we know in our community that's something people are struggling with, and so thankfully through the mayor's leadership and through community partners, we're looking at doing something about it.
Good. I know in the last 5 years being on the border, I know some of these addicts that are normal people would just go across the border and they can buy pills or whatever. So that's kind of a problem, too. I know, you're on someone else's country, but that's something that could be maybe addressed, too.
Well, everything's laced with fentanyl now, so it's all dangerous because it's easy to overdose.
Yeah.
It's micrograms, so.
Yeah. But some of these college kids and professionals that I know that had problems probably wouldn't go seek some drug dealer on some corner, but going across Mexico just makes it a little more presentable, and it's like a legal transaction, that kind of thing, buying pain pills.
Pills
and other things.
Yeah, no doubt. When actually, I should give a quick plug. I wish I had this info right in front of me, but we do have a drug take back program coming up shortly here. That's where people can get some of those. Sometimes it's the addictive pills that are sitting in people's closets and medicine cabinets that they may not realize. Get rid of those things. Right?
Past surgery, so you had some painkillers sitting there.
Well, and we all know, too, the medical profession had, a few years there where that was easily dispensed, right?
Yeah.
And so the hope is that people will turn those in and get those off the streets.
Yeah. So when that happens, there's like a drop-off point?
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And I'm going to see if I can find the info on that before I head out of here.
Okay, no problem.
I had someone from the DEA just talking about it yesterday. He came in.
Oh,
out of Phoenix.
Yeah.
And he was promoting it, and I didn't write it down. I'm looking at some old stuff, but there is one that's coming up. It's for the whole.
So every city administrator probably wants to leave a legacy with their name at some point. So what are some of the things that you want to?
He brought COVID.
Hey, I managed the crisis of COVID. That's what I'm going to say.
I guess you can't get away from that.
Saying, I think I know what the answer is a little bit, but.
Yeah.
Like anything else, pro-business will raise many other areas.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's maybe
it's,
your...
It's actually this weekend.
April 24th.
Yeah. Okay.
I live up here too. Yeah. April 24th is the Drug Take Back Day. That's that's, yeah, actually, it's a good thing we're talking about that.
Does it mention where the drop-off's at?
It's going to be all the police stations, I know.
Yeah, I know our police station will be one. I think San Luis Police Department, Somerton, Walgreens out on 4th Avenue.
Yeah, County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff's Office, the foothills, and it'll be all
over. Well, like
Welton PD.
It's kind of like a drop box, like you just return like a book or something, just drop it in?
Yeah, they'll actually
they don't take names.
They'll have a bin out there.
No,
yeah, actually, that's the best part of it. They, yeah. No questions asked. If you bring stuff out there, want to get rid of it, just that's it. Just go do it and drop it off.
Drugs sitting in a medicine cabinet are just prone to family members or anybody to, you know, it's
sure.
Unfortunately a way that people get a hands on stuff they shouldn't take. It's dangerous.
Yeah, unused prescription drugs, that's probably the main target. But drop them off at any of the police department, sheriff's office. There's the Walgreens location.
Yeah, no questions asked.
Good. So we're going to take another break here. Be right back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, good morning, Yuma. Money Talk. Tom Rush here with the City Administrator, Philip Rodriguez. We got about 10 minutes left. Any other things you want to do a shout out or let listeners know what's going on in your world?
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me this morning. Well, you know, one of the things obviously coming up is our budget process. We want to make sure folks come out. We have several public hearings planned for May and June. And so this is always a really busy time for us at the city. One thing that's interesting to note is our budget will actually grow, if you looked at our budget document in a few weeks, by over $130 million from the year previous. So I want to speak to that for just a quick moment because that may catch folks off guard a little bit. But what that is we're trying to pay off all of our PSPRS debt. We refinanced that earlier this year, and because of budget law, we can't really pay that until July, the new fiscal year in July 1. But ultimately what that did is we had about $140 million in unfunded public safety pension liability. And so that was on our books. It was a real debt. And we transferred that to pension bonds. And we were accruing interest of about 7.3% previously.
It's a high rate.
Yeah, it's a high rate, right? And so we traded that for a rate of 2.38%. And in all, that's going to save the city, and we refunded one other bond. We're going to save the taxpayers about $74 million over the life of that thing. So, and subsequent to that, and maybe just as important, is now our firefighters, our police officers, don't have to question what's going to happen with their retirement anymore. That's going to be paid in full. So, so we kind of were able to do both of those things: is save taxpayers a ton of money, close to $74 million total, and we got our police and firefighters protected in the future here. So. Just a huge win for us. So you mentioned right before the break, you know, what are some of the things that we hope to be known for during this time that I'm here serving, which I hope I'm here for a long time. But I think that one is going to be a huge marker. And over time, that's really going to start showing up because those $74 million in savings is real money. Right?
Sure.
So we can use those savings in the future for other things in the community that we would have otherwise just been paying interest on.
Yeah. So it's like getting a raise or something.
I mean, in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. So people often say, well, how do you guys, you know, certainly you need more revenue, you got to keep driving revenue. Yeah. But one of the best ways to do that without, you know, hitting the pocketbooks of everybody in the community is just get smarter with existing.
So that $74 million savings was over how, 20 years?
19 years. Yeah.
Okay, 19?
Yeah,
okay, right. So do the math for us real quick. It's actually $2.5 million a year, give or take.
Yeah, close to. So,
yeah.
So that, you know, when you do that cumulatively, it's going to be tangible. It's going to be something that actually shows up in our budgets.
Now I notice, you know, South County. I go down there every now and then, but that's growing, and I'm sure their issues might be a little different from Yuma. But you guys seem like you guys all got to work together because you're slowly growing into each other now, right?
We sure do. We definitely have shared interests. And you know, I will say this. I think the cities and the county all work together really well. Right now, we are working on legislative issues together because, again, what impacts one of us, it really impacts all of us. And we've, you know, we're out here in the corner of the state, right? So we've got to make sure we get attention from our leaders in Phoenix, but also in D.C. And so we're a lot more capable the more we're working together.
Sure. And then, you know, I know California's a different state, almost seems like a different country, but, I mean, being next to California, I mean, at some point there has to be some growth going towards the center of the world and out there, right?
I wonder,
because everything's going towards the foothills,
right.
But, you know, being a realist, it has to at least some of it go that way.
You would sure think, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if... but I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think the Greater Yuma economic development, huge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because someone has to be a voice for trying to get draw businesses in and time and energy. And I know you guys work with them and help support that budget, too.
Yeah, actually, I'm fortunate to be, along with our mayor and one of our council members, council member Chris Morris, we're all on the board of that, GYEDC. And, they're really our voice, our unified voice for economic development in the area. Each of the cities and towns, including us, work individually as well, so it's kind of a duplicative.
Mm-hmm.
But with economic development, there's no shortage of, you know, people working on these issues for us. And, again, going back to the workforce deal, we know that that's probably our biggest challenge going forward is to make sure we have labor and the right labor, right? And so one of the things I want to just maybe give a last plug to is our Multiversity Project here in the community. We know that education... and education attainment is one of our hurdles, and you know, we're the largest metro in the whole state without a 4-year university with a strong presence here, and so that's one of our things, you know, going forward is we say, hey, we know that if we need a stronger labor force, We're going to have more education,
right.
And ultimately that's going to create more opportunity.
Because some businesses look at Yuma, but they don't think the workforce is educated enough to provide what they want, right? And
sure,
that's a problem.
Sure. Yeah, there's some misconception out there about that too, but certainly the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
We struggle with folks that finish high school going on and finishing college. And not everybody wants to go to college, right?
Yeah.
So it's things like trade schools and other things. But education, we know, is going to be a real key for our school.
And one of the things you guys are trying to do is promote that piece of property for the downtown campus?
Yeah, that's still in play. We may be a little ways away from a brick-and-mortar building, but that multiversity board, made up of community leaders, the hospital is a big part of that as well. The ultimate goal there is to say, how do we facilitate higher education in our community so we can hopefully keep more of our workforce here?
Sure.
So when our young folks get degreed somewhere else, they may or may not come back to Yuma, but if people have the opportunities to pursue education here in Yuma, likely they are to stay here.
Well, I mean, I know the footprint from U of A and even ASU now out at the campus is coming. I mean, it's there and it's growing.
Yes.
So there has been, to me, more education. And I think it's proven that if a kid can get a degree in Yuma, they stay in Yuma.
We think so.
And once they go somewhere else, then they get, it's hard to bring them back.
Right. And what that means, too, is that we want to push entrepreneurialism, right? We want to see more innovation in our community. And, again, that ties to our education capabilities. And when people have an entrepreneurial spirit, they're from Yuma, they can stay and get educated in Yuma, they're likely going to stay here and invest and build businesses here in Yuma, which that's a cycle we just want to make sure we capture.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the American way is entrepreneur, and the cities that embrace that seem to be the ones that are doing a little better.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, we've got good partnerships there. AWC does really great work and is top-notch facilities. So it's kind of, again, it's like how do we make all that coalesce and how do we get a little bit more attention from the big schools here in Arizona, but give us a chance to really match all the other resources and prowess that Yuma has through the education world.
Yeah, and I know a lot of these things don't happen overnight, and everyone wants to immediately get educated, more education or that, but as long as you have a path working towards that,
right,
and it might even carry to the next person or but that's key, long-term planning, I think, right?
It is, yeah. No, and these are generational questions. I mean, it's not something we're, like you said, going to do overnight, but we got to pursue it nonetheless.
Yep. Well, good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
Hopefully have you on a couple times a year and such. As far as your family, I mean, you don't have to give names of that, but your father?
Yeah.
You got kids, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I've got two daughters. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We're all we quarantined together during this time, right? So I'm real proud. My oldest is going to head off to law school this next fall, and then my youngest is still in high school. But really, just proud of them, and we're enjoying Yuma. That's one of the things that when I was interviewing, I made sure my wife came with me, so she could get a good feel for the community. Fell in love with it right away, and so we've made Yuma home, and are not regretting that decision one bit.
Great. Well, hey, Yuma, we'll see you guys next time. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.